What's up, everybody? Put on your best pair of dress undies and shave up that nasty mustache, because it's time for another episode of the Noobus Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about Dragon Age, hated games, and bloat versus quality content. And before we get started, I just want to tell you guys about a special promotion that thenoobus.com is holding just for this week. For every new user that visits our website, noobus.com, we'll be donating $1 to the Humberto Cabbage Patch Fund for men with very silly names. Now, if you have a name that you hate, or even a slightly detestable middle initial that you're not very fond of, please find it in your heart to support this noble cause and throw our website a few clicks. I'm Jeremy. I'll be your host this week, and I'm joined by regulars Laura and Eric. Say hello.
Hey.
Eric, say hello.
Hello.
Okay. All right, so let's just get into the thick of it. First topic we're going to be talking about is David Gator, former lead writer of the Dragon Age series, leaves BioWare. I personally don't know much about David Gator. I can read his list of writings. He's written all for BioWare specifically. He's written, or at least been a part of the writing staff for all of the Dragon Age games. So Dragon Age Origins, the expansion Awakening, Dragon Age 2, Dragon Age Inquisition, as well as Knights of the Old Republic and some of the old Baldur's Gate games. Now, while I'm not specifically interested in David Gator, I'm more interested in what he represents and kind of the evolution of the writing quality in specifically the Dragon Age games. But you can make, I would make an argument for the all of the BioWare games in general, has kind of been going downhill. And I know I may not be in the minority of it, but I don't have a very popular opinion about that, because my favorite was Origins. I hated 2, and I also hated Inquisition. And I know, Laura, you're a big fan of the Dragon Age games.
Yes, I am. This will be a very interesting conversation.
This will be very fun. So the summary of my argument is that I think Dragon Age Origins was a very well written game, that it was overall just a very good game. Dragon Age 2 took some steps back. It was really oddly paced, and the area restrictions were pretty stupid, that the same areas are copy-pasted all over the place. I don't know, it just felt lazy and it didn't make much sense. And I felt similarly about Inquisition, where I did not like the main storyline. I thought it was, like, duct taped together and the pieces didn't really fit, and that there was too much bloat, and that there wasn't a lot of quality content. And it was mostly, like, fetch quests and stuff I didn't really care about, and that it felt like a bunch of pieces that didn't fit together that were thrown in the same game. So what's your take on the Dragon Age series in general?
Okay, so as far as most kind of Dragon Age fans will attest to, 2 doesn't exist. 2 was unbearably bad. And, you know, I'll put into a bit of context kind of my love affair with kind of the Dragon Age series is as strong as my love of New Vegas. And by that, I mean I have played it on pretty much every system for an unspeakable amount of hours that could hardly be considered healthy. So I have a very kind of, I am kind of well into the lore, well into everything about the series. I don't agree, and I will fight you, about Inquisition. I didn't feel like it was very fetch questy, and I actually thought they had some very brilliant things about Inquisition in terms of the UI and the character conversations and stuff that was really unique and stuff that I felt was really brilliant. But 2 is a pile of crap.
Yes. Definitely. I agree. 2 sucked.
Two was a pile of crap. Dragon Age and Dragon Age Origins were, you know, they've aged very well. I played them very recently, and they've aged spectacularly well in terms of their writing and in terms of their gameplay. So I guess what's really interesting about it is the fact that he's leaving behind such a legacy to obviously go and work on other things, but it's obviously stemming from some level of unhappiness. I don't think Inquisition was all that it could be in terms of kind of writing and scale. It was definitely the most linear out of all of the Dragon Age games. You know, it was very much kind of plot point, plot point, plot point. You know?
Yeah.
There wasn't much in terms of suspense to be left to the end, or at least there was stuff that took you by surprise, even in the little bits of the storytelling, particularly in one where you're interacting with people and you're not really too sure how it's going to pan out, and then suddenly, bam, surprise, midway through. I felt the Inquisition had some of that, but not a huge amount. And I think that that's why he's leaving. I don't think he got to fill as much story in as he would like to have had, which is kind of sad. I mean, it's definitely sad for the series. Do I think that the series will continue to live on regardless of it? Yes.
Definitely.
I mean, it's the same as Moffat leaving Who, right? You know, as sad as it is to have such a key kind of loss, it will be interesting to see where it picks up from a new direction.
Yeah.
Because at least with Inquisition, they have left it at such a point in the series where they can just kind of, they can leave it at that, or they can move on to something else entirely.
You mean move on to another storyline?
Yeah. I mean, okay. they don't necessarily have to continue with the kind of, because all of the bookends kind of made sense. Okay, sure, you don't get any resolution with Solace at the end unless you played the expansion, which didn't really fill much gaps in anyway. But
yeah,
there is room for there to be another two, if that makes sense. Where, you know, not for, obviously not for something really bad, but something different, where they can try something else with the series and maybe make it work better this time. Because in theory, two was good. It was just a pile of crap.
It was, I've heard the argument made a bunch of times, and I think if I replayed two, I might change my opinion on it, but I've heard that people say that it failed as a Dragon Age game, but as generic fantasy sword game, that it's fine. But I went into it just having played Origins, and I fucking loved Origins. I played it like 6 times in a row, and then I got 2 the day it came out, and I was like, this is totally different and much worse than the first one. So I think just by virtue of having the Dragon Age name, it gets more shit than maybe it deserves. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I'd have to play it again to really figure it out. But I don't blame them for trying to do something different. I blame them for trying to do something lazy. In that, I think that Origins was smart, not just in its game design. Now, no, the combat is a little clunky. Like, it's so mage-focused that if you don't have 2 mages in your party, it's very magic-focused.
Yeah,
and you need 2 mages in your party. Not to do well, but you'll destroy everything with 2 mages. And while that isn't brilliantly designed, everything else about it felt, you know, okay, the narrative is what I appreciate most in it. That everything made sense, and it was trying to...
I mean, they were trying to tell a story, and it's one of the rare cases where I was interested in the story in terms of how it played out, and particularly the whole fact that, you know, they're exiled, and they're trying to start again because they're broke, and they need to do a lot of dodgy shit to get to where they're going, and all of that narrative is good and intriguing and engaging, but that, you know, that alone it's something that we learned. It's not something that you can actually, it's a good foundation, but if the rest of the mechanics are brutal, then you don't, then there's nothing else going for it.
See, that's, I think that it was a game carried by its story, and everything else functioned well enough. And that the narrative was good enough, and the world was well built and the characters were built well enough that it kind of carried the sort of clunky combat along with it. Because the combat was at service of the story, I was able to appreciate the combat, not more, but I wasn't as critical of it because it was at the service of something greater. But I didn't get that feeling from either 2 or Inquisition, especially 2, where like it was just quick combat at the service of like a lazy story. And I did like the Canary story at the beginning of 2. I thought that was okay as its own story, not as like the first act of a 3-act story, because that entire plot line, it felt like they had 2 stories. They told they shoved 2 stories into a 3-act plot line. It was like the first act was Canary, second act was I don't even remember, they went down in the cave or something, and then act was Mages versus Templars, and they're like, no, that was the whole thing, and it was just muddled and confusing, and then the gameplay was dumb. It wasn't trying to be strategic, and it was just hit swords and action button and endless waves of enemies. Like, there, it wasn't thoughtful, and it wasn't even ambitious. It just seemed lazy.
I mean, I think that it's an interesting problem, because how I feel about 2 is how I feel about Fallout 4, except it's an opposite problem, where at least the storyline kept me going. Where in Fallout 4, everything is so action-focused and everything is so heavy that I got to a certain point within Fallout 4 where, you know, the big reveal happened, and I quite literally, since that podcast went up, which I think was either the first or the second podcast, I have not picked it up since. And because I've no desire to pick it up. I was getting through the mechanics of it and how kind of gun heavy it is, because like I was always a melee person. You know, I always play kind of, you know, bruisers, and I always play kind of melee characters when I do RPGs. That's just I don't ever go kind of mage or anything like that. Same with kind of weapons gun wise. I'm just not that kind of RPGer. And it's something that I really found is sort of the opposite problem, where at least in 2, it kept me engaged enough that I just put up with it. For Fallout 4, I got to the mid bit, and, you know, it's definitely one of the times that I can say that in a series I have actually put a Fallout game down.
Yeah.
Because of it. And I haven't had that experience with any of the Dragon Age ones, regardless of how kind of difficult or tedious the combating and the quest systems have been, you know, questionable, as, you know, because, you know, Dragon Age isn't flawless, you know.
No, it's not. It's...
And, you know, so it's... But it's about balance. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not BioWare will create another Fallout 4, where they'll just put everything that they think that will really kind of sell, you know, into a Dragon Age game. Because, let's face it, Inquisition had a bit of that, with crafting systems and developing your castle and stuff like that, and changing curtains and shit like that, which
it's like
I didn't appreciate.
No one cares.
Yeah, and having to go to the same fucking lady to go and talk about a quest every single time you wanted to do a quest, rather than just selecting it from the menu.
And having the, I don't remember what it was called, like the war assets table.
The war room.
Yeah, where you'd set it in like in 18 hours, come back and you'll get these things. It felt like I was playing a mobile game where, but the microtransaction part was missing. It was like, why is this in here? This is stupid. I don't want to do this. It's any sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. It definitely has its flaws, but, you know, and that's one of the reasons, I suppose, why Inquisition was so polarizing, was because of the things it tried to change. But at least as a series, it's not afraid to try things to see if it works. Which is the reason why I guess I'm not too worried about what will happen next, because they don't generally stick with the same formula all the time, and I think that's good for a series.
And I I am worried. I think we will see an indication of where they're going to head with Mass Effect Andromeda. Because I feel like the company as a whole has taken a different approach. And you can see a very clear change in vision from what they were making 15, 10 years ago. If you compare like a Knights of the Old Republic or even a Mass Effect 1 to a Mass Effect 3 or a Dragon Age Inquisition, you had... at first, they were the games were pretty clunky. Like, they were not user-friendly at all, and they were, like, D&D spin-offs, where they were still based on dice rolls and, like, critical chance hits. And they were very story-first, almost an approachability-second, where they made kind of these, not dense, but really intricate, sometimes clunky systems and games that there was so much going on, and I didn't feel like it was clutter. But now they've taken a more action-oriented approach, it seems to me, and a more generalist approach, and that they're trying to make it appeal to more people, but in effect they're dumbing down the content they had before. And as someone who really liked those, my favorite Mass Effect game was the first one, even though the combat is fucking atrocious. I fully acknowledge that, but the worlds that they built, the characters that they wrote, and all the lore, it felt like a world, and it didn't feel like it was a world at the service of action. And they primarily focused on building a universe that I wanted to be a part of, not just here's an excuse to shoot things. And my problem with Inquisition specifically is that I don't. It felt like just a bunch of pieces taped together, and I didn't know what the point was. I didn't feel like there was, I don't know, like one cohesive vision behind it. Like all the main story missions felt like you could shuffle them up and put them back in a different order, and that it wouldn't lose any of the coherence, and that all the things that they made to tie together to different main story missions were totally arbitrary and didn't hold any impact over the next story mission.
I wouldn't call it arbitrary. I think arbitrary might be a bit harsh. I definitely do agree in terms of the shuffle that you're talking about, in terms of plot points and storylines and the direction in which it was headed. But that is, I guess, in many ways probably design deliberate, because you do decide fraction wise where you're going to go fairly early in the game, you know, whether or not you're going to side with the Templars or whether or not you're going to side with the Mages, and that dictates a lot of the routes you go through as a result, you know. So definitely, and I'm somebody who played, like, who went through both, you know, played it a couple of times and made sure I got the cohesive picture. And definitely there is a lot of slotting of kind of different kind of quest lines in different orders that kind of lead you towards, you know, a greater sense. I guess I'm sort of 50-50 on your comment about kind of the whole never really feeling like there was an ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Because, and I will be the first one to say it, it felt pretty rushed.
Yes. Especially the ending. It just felt like, they're like, oh, we need a final battle with big bad guy. Here you go. And I was like, what? I don't care, like, I didn't care about anything that was happening the whole game, and then that was really harsh, but, like, I didn't care about the story. I don't care about the villain. I don't know anything about the villain. All I know is he is scary man who went to God's town and made everything bad, and that we should kill him.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That is pretty much all the context we ever get about it. He's somebody who can summon a blight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But this is why we found Grey Wardens.
Yeah, and
this is why we found that, you know, the dude who was a Grey Warden who turned out not to be a Grey Warden, and then we actually found the real Grey Wardens. Yeah. And, you know, things get very contrived very quickly.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't, I can't excuse it as going, oh, well, they were trying this other thing and the main story fell. It was like everything else felt so piecemeal that I was like, what were they doing? What was the vision behind it?
I think it definitely suffers from overcomplication.
Yes, I completely agree.
I definitely think that in terms of Alistair and Moira and Morrigan, they there was so much hype leading up to it, right? And I understand they're iconic. I get it, okay? I do. But coming as a fan of the series, somebody who deeply, deeply loves these games and this series, you could have left them out and we would have been... There would have been no loss because of it. Flemeth and Morrigan don't serve that big of a purpose in Inquisition. And that is, like, blasphemous, right? And I understand it's blasphemous, but it's true. You get to the Sacred Fountain. You make a choice. Flemeth arrives anyway. Like... Why did you need to tie them in? I understand they're ancients and that this whole series is about ancients and dragons and all the rest, right?
Because people like them and they're in the first one. So therefore you have to put them in the other ones.
Yeah, no, I know, I get it. I get it. It'll sell. You know, right. I do. I get it. I get it. But the way they were integrated in felt so... wishy-washy. They spent so little time, and it was like I distinctly remember it that it was like the third trophy you got before you finished the end, so you may have had max about 2 hours of story time at most developing why they were there and what they were doing, and then you got to the end and Morrigan's pissed off again and that's all you really figure out, and they're just like, so she just came in, told you some shit, and left again.
Yeah,
like
it didn't need to be Morrigan. And I completely agree with you. They were I believe they're just in there because people like Origins, and then they see, oh, Morrigan and Alistair, I remember them. Maybe it'll be like that one. It's a loose attempt to tie the series together.
And the thing is, you know, it's somewhat interesting about the fact that, you know, the whole point with Solace and Bad Wolf and all the rest, right? That there is a tie-in there, but why not have that big reveal for Solace? And why do you need to include Flemeth and Morrigan in that? Because then surely that could have been a counterforce later on, and a really interesting plot development that's why Morrigan's there.
Yeah.
To find Bad Wolf.
Why not have that be the thing that pushes the story forward? Like in Origins, the main villain, you had two villains. You had Taryn Logan and you had the Archdemon. And the Archdemon was big bad guy, gonna kill everything. But he wasn't the interesting villain. Taryn Logan was the interesting villain. He was the one that we cared about. He was the motherfucker that you wanted to get. And he was good because he had motivations that you understood. He was a person first. He was a character. The Archdemon was just bad guy. And if that's all you have, then it's boring. But if it's something in the background to just kind of keep you going, totally fine. And if that's what Cornithius or Corinthians or Cornopolis, whatever, I don't remember his name, if that's what he was, if he was at service of something greater, then I could just excuse him. But there was nothing else. He was it. And if they put the soulless Flemeth story, if that was the thing driving the story forward, and if they had little threads tying together to tie those
story
missions together, the game would be so much better, but they don't have that. And that's
I found the whole mirrors thing and the whole, you know, like how Morrigan, you know, manages to shimmy round and escape all of these people who are trying to hunt her because she's a Witch of the Waste, or Witch of the Waste?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys all know what I'm talking about anyway.
We'll move on soon.
He was sitting there very silently going, I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
We'll end his boredom soon.
Indeed, it's interesting, though.
But how she escapes all of these people kind of wanting to hunt her for her power is going through all of these alternative portals, which is a hell of a lot more interesting than what's going on presently.
Right, but it's only in there for one mission. It's like, oh, I heard about these portals. And then at the end, they, like, blow it up. And, like, oh, it lets, oh, the portal just led us to some magic crystal. And you're like, wait, those didn't have anything to do with each other. You just erased the relevance of the mirrors in one mission.
Yeah, in one fell swoop.
And that was it. And it was like, why is this here? This serves no purpose other than the context of the mission. The missions don't play with each other at all. They're just like separate pieces that they sort of made work together.
I mean, it would have made a lot more sense if they had... It definitely feels like, in terms of writing, that they had this core idea and then other people came up with better ideas as they were going through development. And they were just like, oh, we'll stick this in. Oh, we'll stick this in. Yeah. Oh, we'll stick this in. Which made, you know, it's funny how while you're resolving a main conflict, you know, while I get that there's always something bigger in the background and it's never really the true objective, that, you know, that you never want it to be more interesting than what you're trying to do in the beginning, right? And that all the reasons why I love Inquisition is for all of the little things, not the main plot point. I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, about the main plot point. It was all of the development. It was all of the building up. But I don't think I'm ever going to go back to my Inquisitor, which is really sad, you know, because I do think that there is a lot more real estate there. But it's how are you going to do it is the real trick.
What do you mean?
I don't think that my particular Inquisitor is done in that world, in that space, given all of the timelines and all of the, you know, unresolved threads.
Okay.
That are in there. So they could definitely get another game out of it. I just don't think that they will.
No, I don't think they should either.
Well, no, but I do think that there is, you know... There are stories left to be told in it, but I don't necessarily think that they will go back and tell it.
I hope they do something else.
Yeah, which I don't ultimately think will be a loss, but I do think that they will, you know, they will probably come back to something like it where it'll be a tie-in like the rest, and then we'll finally... I just really hope that overall that there is some overarching narrative that they are pulling from the feeling that we are getting to a resolution. Because one of the things I really hate about these series of games is, well, about these series, any kind of serialized game, is that they tend to not have a finishing point.
Yeah, they keep going because of a story. There's no reason in the context of the universe why the story should keep going. They keep making them because people want to keep buying them. So then it just makes them feel...
Not because there is anything actually there left. Yeah. Which really annoys me. I mean, it's one of the things about GTA that bothers me. Is that we're on GTA, what, 5 now?
Yeah.
And I understand each story is different and self-contained and stuff like that. But why have it serialized? It's one of the things that bothers me. About kind of serialization in general.
I kind of disagree with you there. If something has separate, like if you have a distinct universe and then you have completely different stories within that universe, but you use the same branding, I'm okay with that. I don't mind that at all.
More just the serialization that I have a problem with. I've got no issue with it being under the same brand or the same name, but just, you know,
that they have to tie the entries together?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand that.
I mean, like, have them stand alone. I mean, it's one of the things I about kind of the numerical system that Final Fantasy has. Because, you know, they don't... It's not a series, it's a set of stories.
Yeah.
You know, but this is the reason why the Tales series have Tales of, and then whatever title the actual game is, Zillia. Yeah. Or Symphonia, or whatever. Has no link with each other. You don't need to play the others to play the first. Same with GTA, same with Final Fantasy. You know, the only kind of notable exception that I can think of off the top of my head was, like, Kingdom Hearts. Is where you can't really go into 2 without knowing what happened in 1.
Yeah.
While you can do it in Dragon Age, you can do it in Mass Effect to a certain degree. Yeah.
Mass Effect, I don't know about that.
You can. I mean, you can follow it. It'll just be different.
Yeah, okay.
But I suppose that's the same for 2 in Kingdom Hearts as well. You could follow it, you'd just be very confused. Anyway, that's a random tangent about...
Whatever. Oh, you brought up Tails. I could go on about it. I just finished Azealia.
Oh, what did you think?
Oh, at the beginning, I fucking loved it. I was like, oh my god, this is great. This, because I had just played Abyss a few months ago for the second time.
No, hang on. Which storyline did you do?
Jude.
Oh, okay.
But I had played Abyss a couple months ago for the second time, and I remember loving it the first time. And the second time, I was like, oh my god, this is terrible. I was like, this is the, like, it was a very simple story, but that they just hammering into you over and over and over, and they held your hand through the whole thing, and I was like, ah! It just frustrated
me. Tales games are meant to be played once.
Yeah.
And only once. I'm not going to lie. I'm so sad you didn't play Mila's story first, because Mila's story is so much better than Jude's.
Is it?
I
just feel like the overarching story
was... If you had told me, I would have told you to play Mila's side first, because Mila's side is so much more interesting than Jude. All you do with Jude is run around for ages.
Yeah.
That's all you do.
My problem with it was that it didn't follow this coherent story structure. I never knew what I was fighting for. It was like halfway through, you changed your vision, you changed your ultimate goal, and then they 10 more hours in, they changed your ultimate goal again, and then again they changed the main villain, and it's like, I don't know what I'm fighting for anymore. I was so thrown all over the place, and I was like, what's happening? I don't know what's happening anymore in this screen. And then, like, I started to not care about the characters anymore, because it didn't make probably any sense.
Probably how Eric feels about our conversation, like, right now.
Right. It's like, who? I don't care. I don't give a shit what these guys are talking about. But, oh man, Celia really disappointed me in the end. It fell apart at the end.
Towards
the middle. The first half, I was totally on board. I was like, this is great. And then...
I'm so sad I didn't tell you to play Mila's side first, because it is so much better than Jude's.
What's different?
Oh, like everything. Like you are talking about two pretty much completely separate sets of events. Like, I would definitely encourage you, like, hand on heart, plead with you to forget about Jude's side and try to play it from Mila's, and try to repress anything you've played on Jude's side. Because Jude's side is just a load of walking and just following, while Mila's actually has a point.
See, but my problem wasn't with Jude, because Jude and Mila, I could get behind as characters. I don't know. Just, it was the storyline that didn't make any sense. It kept jumping all over the place. And
this is why you need to play Mila's side.
Okay.
Apps. I promise you, everything else will make sense if you play Mila's storyline.
See, that's another... I think they just should have made one game and not have it been two different... Why have two separate plot lines if they don't make sense independently? And if one is worse than the other... Just make one thing and make it a good game. They're trying to make more content. They're trying to make a bloated thing out of... I would have preferred one shorter game rather than two long, confusing games. And that was another problem I had with Dragon Age. And just moving to this in general, because I know, Eric, you don't care about Dragon Age or Tales or whatever. But is that I'm sick of playing games that just feel bloated, that are just like, there's too much content but at the service of nothing.
So how I felt in my entirety about Witcher then?
Okay, I disagree with you. I think there was that it was at the service of something, or that the side quests in The Witcher had a point to them. Like, I wasn't just find 10 mushrooms, deliver them to man. That they said something about the world, they said something about the people that live in these different areas, or they said something about Geralt. And that I felt like I got something out of all the side quests or all the content. in The Witcher.
But equally, I could get behind in Dragon Age the fact that I'm gathering all of these resources and I'm looking for X, Y, and Z to fuel an army.
Yeah, but then that army is at the service of nothing.
The army is at service of the plot.
Which,
you know,
and I hated the plot, so then I didn't care about anything. It was like, I needed to be engaged somewhere. In Inquisition, I didn't care about anything because everything was so loose to me. I was like, all right, the main plot sucks. My character, he's me, so he's not a character. I can't get behind him because he's an avatar for me. So I don't care about my main character, if that makes any sense. Like I would about Geralt, because Geralt is a character. He's not an avatar.
Yeah, but I could not get behind, like, Geralt at all. And I played, okay, like, the full Witcher series. I think, ultimately, my point comes from the same as you-ish. I do believe that there is too much filler,
yeah,
in games lately to prolong them for the sake of prolonging them.
Right.
Rather than, like, I know that it's important to have side quests and stuff like that, but think of older RPGs. Think of Pokemon. Pokemon is a great example, right? There is lots of shit, alternative shit to do in Pokemon, except, you know, that doesn't include the main quest. You can catch all the Pokemon, you can fill your Pokedex, you can battle in arenas, you can do whatever, 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 right? But the main quest of the story is become Pokemon champion. In, yeah, a lot of cases, right? Defeat the bad guys, become champ. And that experience never feels bloated.
Yeah.
Because there's very little that gets in the way of that, except for defeating the bad guys along the way. Right? So, but I think that comes down to good pacing and good storytelling.
Yeah.
And knowing exactly what, like, Pokemon is very sure of itself and very sure of what it is. But that's probably because it's so old, right?
And it's so gameplay driven too, yeah, that the story doesn't matter. You could story, I don't care, like all the story that they've been putting in the more recent Pokemon with the, I don't know, like the all the bad guys and the ancient crap. I'm like, I don't care, just let me fight. And that it's more of like I can ignore it. Like I don't have to pay attention to it most of the time. It's getting worse now, but is that the gameplay comes first, and it's more about gameplay goals. It's about beating, yeah, this guy, leveling up your guys, and that's inherently fun, so you want to keep doing it. Yeah. And that, like, the weird side stuff is either at the service of gameplay, or it's something that you can just skip entirely if you don't care.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where... I think it's certainly symptomatic of where RPGs and stuff like that are heading in general anyway. Because you... And it's also, you know, coming back to the topic that we often discuss on this podcast about, you know, value and the value of what we get for our money. You see, Pokemon used to be exceptionally sure of what it was. And I totally agree that it's beginning to lose its way-ish with all of these kind of stuff that it thinks it needs to put in to keep it fresh. Yeah. And I do agree that it does need a certain level of innovation to keep it fresh, but it always has had a really good understanding of what it is and what it's trying to do. While Dragon Age, you know, Fallout, stuff like that, are beginning to lose their essence. Yeah, what really identifies them as being so successful in their own, you know, in their own thing.
Right. Go ahead.
And that's where you really need to think about kind of, fine, 6-hour experiences, if condensed, you know, would be awesome, but you have to think about the experiences that are really shit that you get for 6 hours. I mean,
yeah,
you know, all you need to do is look at the Order. You know.
Yeah, I haven't played it, but I heard that it was just mostly cutscenes and there, yeah, was no content.
And you need to kind of... It's more symptomatic of what's wrong in terms of writing and pacing and not being completely sure from the get-go of what you want to achieve when you're creating a product. you know, that you want to sell. Because you need to be 100% sure of what you're trying to do in order for something to be good. Like, Black Flag, Assassin's Creed, was good because it knew what it was selling and it knew what it wanted to achieve.
Right.
Syndicate did not know what it wanted to achieve.
Oh, I heard Syndicate was good.
Yeah, it's okay, but it still suffers from, you know, from the same kind of feeling of, I'm not really, you're never really too sure why you're doing this. Yeah, you're there to liberate London, but...
But you don't care.
But you're not invested in it.
Right, you don't have a reason to liberate London.
Yeah, I mean...
Besides the game telling you to do so.
Maybe, sort of, kind of. One doesn't, another one does. You know, it's very mishmashy. And Assassin's Creed is another kind of series that needs to know where its cutoff point is. Because at the end of the day, we need to eventually find all these pieces of Eden and there needs to be a full conflict between Templars and Assassins. And the series needs to go soon because it is running out of stories it wants to tell.
Yep.
And it's getting to a stage now where I was invested in it up to a point, and now I'm just like, I will play the last game when I know it's the last game, where all of it comes together. Because how much of a nightmare is the last Assassin's Creed going to be where it's trying to tie in all of these loose ends?
It probably won't. I think they'll just keep riding this money train until it runs out. They'll keep making them until they just stop selling, and I doubt that there will be... There might be. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, put it that way. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have, like, one conclusive ending, that if they just dropped them one day. They're like, oh, okay, people stop buying Assassin's Creed. We'll stop.
I mean, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me either. No. I'd be very sad if it happened, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking of kind of experiences in terms of length, I mean, there are games that are really, really short that are really good. Like, yeah. Walking simulators, stuff like Gone Home, Proteus, right. Even sort of episodic ones like Tales of the Borderlands, Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us, that kind of thing. But they're very sure and they have very directed content.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they want to achieve and what they want to do, which is something that I think particularly AAA narratives and AAA development really suffer with. They really suffer from kind of proper project management, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's both a problem with... I'm hesitant to say there's a problem with people who play video games in general. It's like... I don't know how to say it. But you do have AAA developers. Like, Uncharted 2, I think it's like a fucking perfect game. It's only like, I don't know, 8-10 hours. I don't want more. I want that 8 to 10 hours, because that 8 to 10 hours is fucking perfect. But I think a lot of people, I still see people on forums and on Reddit all the time going, oh, this game wasn't long enough. And that's their criticism, that it wasn't that, oh, this content felt too rushed or something like that. It was just like, well, I didn't get enough gameplay for my money spent. And that I feel like time played is a factor. Not time well spent, it's just time spent. And people, you're like, oh yeah, I can spend 100 hours in this. I can spend 500 hours in this. But it's never a conversation about whether that 500 hours was spent well. It was just, oh, it's a plus if I can spend it at all. And I think that's a bad way of looking at it. Because then it leads developers, oh, people want more content. They don't want more good content. They just want more content. So then just shove more crap in the game. They just shove more stuff to do. And people are like, oh, yeah, look at all the content. And that
It's really a conversation about value.
You know?
Like here's a quick question for you guys. If you knew that a game was 6 hours long, but you knew the content was brilliant, how much would you spend on it?
I would spend a full $60. Maybe.
Eric?
Depends what it is.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
If you knew that a six-hour game would be an exceptional six-hour game, how much money would you spend on it? Irrespective of genre, irrespective of whether it's in AAA.
I mean, if it's 6 hours, I mean, if it's really good and it has replay value, then yeah. I mean, when I can think of a good example. When I played Arkham Asylum, the first Batman game by Rocksteady. And, you know, I've been looking for that game for a very long time. A lot of people were. And I was not disappointed. And it's not like it was the whole open world thing. This is before Batman went open world with the city and stuff. And all you needed was the great campaign, the ability to replay it again on a hard difficulty, and then this challenge modes. And that kept me satisfied.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely see what Jeremy's saying about Bloated. I mean, when you... This is especially the case of open world games. Open world games have to just throw shit at you, right, to make it seem like it's bigger than it really is. Assassin's Creed is the master of doing that shit. I have Unity, unfortunately. That was the first Xbox One game I got, because it came with my Xbox One. I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. I'll play it.
Oh, did you start with Unity?
Huh?
Like, did you not, did you, you have
no,
to play
no,
it?
No. I've been playing Assassin's Creed since Assassin's Creed 2.
Okay.
So I'm playing it, and I'm just like, holy fuck. They like, make the most petty, like little things so, like, a big chore, basically. Like, you have to download a separate app if you want to open the other treasure chest. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, as stupid as it sounds, I actually downloaded the other app and actually completed all their stupid little mini games just so I could get all possible treasures so far. And then... you know, it's just the usual kill this guy, fetch this crap for someone, and it's in, oh, go reach this other checkpoint or lookout point that expands the map, which it's an obligatory thing in open world games at this point. And it's just, it feels stupid. Like, and I could see the same problem in Just Cause 3 and the same problem in the Mad Max game.
Yeah.
It's, people don't understand, don't know how to make an open world feel more organic now. A lot of times it's just like fetch quests. The same thing with RPG games.
It's content at the service of content. Like, it doesn't, oh, getting these treasure chests will illuminate some part of the story. Or, oh, it does this. I don't know. It'll make the story go this way. It's not at the service of anything. You're not like a treasure hunter or anything. You're just like, oh, money. Oh, you need to get these. Go get these flags. Go collect all these feathers.
It's there to waste time.
Because you want feathers. Yeah. It's like, I don't care about these feathers. Why are you making me collect them? Well, because they're to be collected. It's like, who gives a fuck? Content just in there at the service of nothing is stupid. But people seem to like it. They're like, oh, look at all these collectibles. It's like, fuck you. They're useless. Demand real content, not like, just bloat.
Yeah. I will say, like, here's an example of how to do that kind of, like, correctly. This is back in Assassin's Creed 2. And it's pretty much been a staple in every single Assassin's Creed up until now. It's like, collect these different pieces in order to unlock the special armor, like the legendary assassin armor, right? And that started way back in Assassin's Creed 2, the black Altair costume, whatever. And it felt cool because you had to go find these catacombs underground and do all kinds of crazy, like, mini game, Indiana Jones style, or like, sorry, Prince of Persia style, like, you know, jumping on stuff and avoiding obstacles, puzzles. So that felt like you were doing something each time, and you were earning something. At the very end, you were earning a very cool prize.
Or like the tombs in the first Tomb Raider reboot. You didn't need to do them for the service of the story, but they were interesting world building things. So like, oh, here are these ancient treasures, and they'll give you upgrades, and they'll help you along. You don't need them; you can get them if you want. And they will tell you something about the island and the culture of some of these ancient treasures. And it's interesting, and it's optional too. They don't make you do it to fulfill some kind of like arbitrary checklist. It's not like, you have to do these to go to the next part. And I'm okay with, like, I'm not okay with completely optional bloat, because it shouldn't be in there anyway, and it shouldn't be counted as content.
I mean, the flip side being, I mean, like, what developers should be aiming for is quality with quantity.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to feel, you know, cheapened. Like, what, I never played this game, but I don't hear anything good about it. The Order 1866 or whatever the fuck it was. And it's just like, oh, the graphics are so cool. This is the true next-gen experience. And it's just like super paper thin. It holds your hand throughout the entire campaign. And it's just like, wow, it looks good, like a shitty Gears of War ripoff.
And then it like sets itself up for a sequel at the end or something.
It's like playing Fantastic Four, the game.
Yeah, which just that I think is stupid too. Where it was also at the service of nothing. It was like, here's this cool interactive cutscene. It's really short, and that's not what I'm talking about shorter experiences, because that sounds like a terrible game. I haven't played it, to be fair, so I don't know. Whatever. I've heard it's bad, and I'll like unilaterally, I've heard it's bad. So but that's not what I mean about cutting down to get less content. That's just the same thing, where it's just 4 hours of bloated nothing. It's just they took the bigger scale and shrunk it. They didn't like cut the fat off. They just made something bloated, but they also made something 4 hours. So yeah. It achieved nothing.
I mean, I'm playing Fallout. I'm deeper now in Fallout 4, and I'm noticing that, you know, a lot of crappy chore quests. It's just like, hey, we want you to go clear out this town. Now this town. Now this town. Go save these settlers. Hey, can you go find me this object and bring it back to me? And it's the same shit over and over again. But I guess so far it hasn't bothered me, because Fallout is just, you can do it. There's still a lot to do, and I do them because I can keep on unlocking new stuff. And so far, the actual other quests that are more have more of a plot to them, are keeping me occupied. So it doesn't bother me too much. It's kind of what you expect in an RPG game. The problem being is if that's all there is,
right? And if it's just that and the main quest, it's like, oh, if you want to do anything else, you have to do this bloated crap.
Yeah.
And that's why I like The Witcher so much, is because the secondary quests felt like storylines, like independent storylines themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
That they helped build the world. They helped define characters. I'm thinking about that. There's a quest on Skellige where there's a witch who cursed her former lover's son or something. I forget. Yeah, there was a witch and a dude, and they were former lovers. And he ditched her for some other lady, and he now has a kid. And the witch cursed his child. And at first you think, oh, the witch is just a terrible person for casting the curse. Then you find out that she was justified because that guy was a dick, and that he totally screwed her over, so she cast this curse. And then he's just like, yeah, go murder her. And both of these people are terrible. They're terrible, terrible people, and you have to decide who you're going to fuck over. This isn't, oh, there's a good guy who you have to align with and go kill bad guy, or that they were both morally ambiguous people, and you had to make a decision, and no matter what decision you were going to make, somebody got screwed unjustly. Like, somebody got just totally fucked, and some bad person won, and that's interesting. And because that's the way that world functioned, that's the way that everything was, is that you occupy this morally gray space and this explore different parts of that space. And it was at service of the world. And from what you're saying in Fallout 4, like collecting, going and killing these guys, that doesn't, it's at the service of nothing. It's at the service of, oh, isn't it fun shooting people? It's like, if you have really deep game mechanics and you really want to show off, like, oh, here's, do this cool thing, like Vanquish. Did you guys ever play that?
Vanquish?
Vanquish. It was for the PS3 and 360. You play.
I have vague recollections of playing.
You're in like a mech suit and you like slide all over the place and you can like slow down.
Oh,
time.
Yeah. Now I remember. I remember seeing that. I was like, yeah. It looks like it would get old very quickly.
Like that game, the story sucked. It didn't make any sense. It was stupid, but it was fun. Like the mechanics were, it was a very simple game. But I really, really liked it because it was really flashy, but at the same time, it felt like it made sense. I could really get behind it, and I love Vanquish. I haven't played it in a while, but that's something where the mechanics were the driving force behind the game. So I was like, okay, I can excuse all this dumb crap. This story doesn't make sense. I don't care because I just want to play the thing. And as long as the story functioned and it wasn't just a total piece of garbage, I didn't care because I came for the gameplay. So I think that one worked. But If you do, you guys have anything, any closing thoughts about bloated games? We've talked it almost to death.
Be more like Batman Arkham Asylum and Witcher 3, less like Assassin's Creed Unity and any other Ubisoft open world game.
Laura, any closing thoughts on that
topic? Stop with the bloat.
Yes.
Stop with the bloat.
I agree.
Stop with the bloat. That pretty much sums it up.
Now, to keep on this hate train, I personally have fed by my own hatred, so I love talking about things that are bad. Just to close out, let's talk about some of our most hated games. Like the worst games you've ever played, something that you just totally hate, even if other people really like it. Just to give some short examples, some of my most hated games are Aquaman, Battle for Atlantis. That game is pretty universally panned as a terrible game. I hated the game Resonance of Fate. I don't know if you've ever played that game. Anybody? No? Okay.
No, I have not.
It's like a JRPG that for 20 hours, it had no story. I don't know if it ever picks up a story because I stopped playing it because it's fucking terrible. And the gameplay didn't make any sense and it didn't do a good job at all of conveying to you how to play the game. It's a confusing mess. I really didn't like Borderlands 2, mostly because I played it by myself and I felt it was a terrible single player game. I can understand why people like it. I personally hated it, but whatever. And Secrets of the Magic Crystals is a horrible game. I don't think it's supposed to be good, but it's like a horse like training simulator and it's bad, and I think it's like a joke game that people give each other as Steam gifts, and I got it once and I tried to play it for like 15 minutes and I was like, this is the worst piece of shit ever. I see why this is a joke gift. have any of you guys played Secret of the Magic Crystals?
I have no idea what that is.
I have.
Did you like it?
I don't think I would not put it on my list of most hated games in the world, though. I mean, it wasn't great, but Jesus Christ, like,
no, I think hate is a strong bad. I think hate is a strong word, and I don't actually hate it. I just think it's stupid and it's fun to laugh at. This is like, it's a game about like horses and unicorns called Secret of the Magic Crystals. And it's just kind of like a ridiculous game that exists, and it's fun to laugh at.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, but just, you know, hate's a pretty strong word.
Yeah,
I mean,
fair.
I can say that I hate at least all of mine. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the only one on my list that I don't actually. No, Aquaman is also fun to laugh at. That's just a fucking horrible game. And I probably would hate it, but I really do strongly dislike Resonance of Fate and Borderlands 2. But yeah, those are my most disliked that I could think of.
So mine, I mean, I don't hate, I'm one of those people who don't believe in like in hating games because they're a form of art. I'm one of those. So for me to actually find something that pisses me off to a stage where I'm just like, fuck this shit, who the fuck designed this, is difficult, but I have found three. So Sonic DX is a heaping pile of shit that should just never have existed in the first place.
What was that for? I don't even remember that game.
I think it wasn't for N64. I think it was Dreamcast.
I think you're right.
But it was broken. It was stupid. It was completely, you know, just everything was wrong with it. Like, there wasn't anything that was right with it. Like, everything was wrong with it. Levels were broken, the plots didn't make sense, the voice acting was shit. It was like, it was the beginning of like the semi-open world era of Sonic, which is just fucking stupid to begin with, right? Because it's Sonic. Why the fuck do you need it to be open world?
Oh man, my friend will have some words with you. He's a big Sonic fan. I agree with you.
Well then he can fight me for it, right? Yeah, absolutely, go. we will fight over it. But the fact that Sonic is open world at all is a crock of shit and just shouldn't be allowed. Anyway, so I'm quite passionate about this. So even when you were going into like individual characters to do their missions, like there's one with a cat that I can't remember his name because I've repressed it, because obviously I'm that traumatized from it. And you're trying to get Froggy, you're trying to fish for a frog, which makes no fucking sense because you don't fish for frogs. But that whole mechanic of even completing that side of the game is completely fucking broken. Doesn't work, and the frog just swims away from you because he's a frog and not a fish. Anyway, yeah. So I'm very angry about the fact that it exists. I'm not happy about it at all. Okay, so the next one is more as a point of kind of conscience, I suppose. And it's not for the reasons everybody will think because I'm a girl when I say the title of this game. But the title of the game is Catfight.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
It's a Mortal Kombat clone.
Oh!
That is all about kind of half-naked women just pulling each other's hair.
That's Dead or Alive?
No. Like, that's the thing. I have no beef with Dead or Alive. I love Dead or Alive because it does its shit properly. If you're going to go down along the lines of kind of the Dead or Alive side of comedy / kind of what Dead or Alive is, at least do it properly, which is what Dead or Alive is doing. Catfight is just a really bad clone that doesn't work well, that's poorly pixelized and doesn't even have like the proper mechanics that it's trying to copy, and everything is overly sexualized and isn't even hot, and like it distresses me on like a lot of levels. That if you're going to go to the point of, you know, doing something, do it Dead or Alive, do it well, make it so that the characters are hot, make it so that it's stupid, make it so that it's funny, you know.
Yeah, make it so it's something.
Don't half-arse copy something, then use sprites that are unattractive to basically pull another chick's hair because, yeah, that's how all women fight. I'm sorry, I'm a black belt. I can kick the crap out of pretty much anybody. That is not how women fight.
I did not know you're a black belt. That's cool.
Yeah, so
should
you
go fight the developers.
Oh, believe me, I would. Like, I would kick the shit out of them. Anyway, but just, if you're going to copy something, right, copy it with a bit of uniqueness to it, because there isn't any such a thing as originality, right? But if you're going to go down along that lines, do it right. Like, do what Dead or Alive do. I don't take any offence to what Dead or Alive is. I enjoy what Dead or Alive is because it's funny and because it doesn't take itself too seriously. And I can respect that and I can enjoy that. Like, even as, you know, as a heterosexual woman, right?
Right.
And enjoy that for what it is, because I think it's funny, and because I don't take it so seriously.
Because it's not even taking itself seriously,
because
so how can you?
It's not taking itself seriously. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's this whole genre for that kind of thing, and I'm aware it's a niche and it exists for whatever reason you might choose, but the fact is, it sells because it's obviously doing something right. Don't do this fucking crap of shit that is Catfight. and have it like it is some sort of contender where you're blending two genres together. No, you're just making one piling heap of crap. Don't do it. Stop. Like, just stop it. And I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm very angry today.
It's fun. Hate is fun. Hate.
Can we not just title this episode Hate is Fun?
It's the Hate Cast.
Yeah, it is the Hate Cast. 2016 Hate Cast.
Right. Every one of my episodes will be a Hate Cast.
Okay. So my final one is, and this is where it's going to be slightly controversial, right? But it is the Tetris that EA and I can't remember.
I'll look it up for you. Keep talking about
Thanks. And they, like, the ultimate question, as Jim Sterling so poignantly stated, is how do you fuck up Tetris? Like, how? How do you fuck up Tetris? Tetris is easily, has to be one of the most iconic video games in the world. Like, everybody knows what Tetris is, even if you don't game. How can you make something run on half a processor and a AA battery? And then get to 2016 and have something that can't run on an i7. How can you make Tetris broken? Tetris, you can't fuck up Tetris, and yet these AAA developers have managed to fuck up Tetris by creating something like Tetris Ultimate Edition that doesn't even work on a high-spec computer. How? How do you do that? Game Boys! Like, technology that is 20 years old has managed to develop a better, more kind of cohesive experience. Like, I don't know if you guys have played Tetris for on mobile or anything. Tetris Blitz or whatever the fuck it is now.
Just
stop with the bollocks. Seriously, just give me my Tetris. And the same goes to you, Windows 10, for charging for solitaire. I'm looking at you, Microsoft. I'm looking at you. Stop that shit. It's not funny. Solitaire has been free since I was learning how to program in DOS. Like, like, seriously, why would you charge for subscription? How do you fuck up Tetris and how do you fuck up Solitaire? By not doing what Tetris and Solitaire are meant to be played. Like, we'll just start buying decks of cards if you're going to be twats about it. And we're just going to start returning to ROMs and to, you know, our old cartridges for proper Tetris experiences if you guys can't get your shit together. Which I don't understand how, you know, the people who can create other fantastic working games that have, you know, 60 frames per second and look absolutely stunning can make Tetris stutter on an i7. I wonder do AAA developers understand that that's not, like, that is the biggest paradox that you will ever find in your entire life. How can you create something visually stunning and then break Tetris? Like, I don't understand it. And that, like, they're charging subscriptions and €20 for Tetris. You need to give me some reason not to just open a web browser.
But the dummies will pay for it. They'll say, oh, Tetris on phone, I will buy, and then they do it.
I mean, look, I downloaded the free version of Tetris Blitz for my iPhone, right? Realized it wasn't Tetris, swore at it for a bit, looked for the normal mode, couldn't find it, and wondered, why do you need to change the formula of Tetris? Like, we spent a lot of this cast talking about innovation and stuff that needs to be changing to keep things fresh. But I think you're confusing the fact that there is no narrative to Tetris.
Right.
There is no narrative.
But how can you add microtransactions to Tetris in another way? You need microtransactions.
Don't even get me fucking...
I need, like, to buy my green Tetris block.
Oh, could you imagine if they started?
You need to unlock. You can't complete this stack because you need to buy the purple tea piece.
Oh yeah, no. Can you that will happen? And the day that will happen, I will quite literally, I don't know, I will send glitter to EA and they will be cleaning it up for the rest of their lives. Like, I don't think they understand that that's not how, like, premium market infrastructure, like, even works. And I will end up, like, talking for another hour and a half about how, you know, people make poor choices and it affects the rest of us, and stop doing it.
People just buy dumb things. I don't know why people buy things like that, but Eric, give us some of your hate.
Sure.
Fill me with your hatred.
I'll join the dark side with you. All right. Excellent. So I don't know. I've actually had a hard time coming up with a list because I don't know. It's hard to remember a time where I had that much of a bad experience, but I can think of a few. And I'll start off with Hitman Absolution. I was looking forward to this game for a very long time because I've played Hitman Blood Money, like, way too many times. I've beaten that game way too many times. That game has, like, a lot of replay value. And it's because it's an open world game. I mean, not open world, but, like, it's an open-ended game. It's non-linear. If you, to this day, I'm watching videos of people beat the levels of Hitman Blood Money in ways I couldn't even didn't even begin to think about. Like, it's how ridiculous, like, how fun that game was. And it's like a 2005, 2006 game, something like that.
Yeah.
And so Absolution finally comes up. We get a, you know, at the time, like, next-gen, like Xbox 360, PS3, PC version of Hitman. And it comes out, and we watch the demo, and a lot of people watch demos, and the graphics look amazing, and it looks has some really promising features. And then when you actually play it, by the second level, I realized it was very wrong. And that was the disguise mechanic. And the fact that this entire game is super linear, they added checkpoints now. They added checkpoints to a game series that's supposed to be fucking, like, open-ended. And so, like, what ended up happening was just, like, you were just basically playing a glorified cover shooter in a lot yeah. of ways. And when you wore disguise this time around, it worked off something called an instinct meter, where you have to use your instinct meter in order to make your disguise work around people who wear the same disguise as you do. So if you're wearing a cop uniform and you happen to walk by other cops, according to this game's logic, all cops know each other by first name basis and will immediately recognize you if you don't use your instinct meter. What kind of load of shit is that? It kind of made the entire disguise mechanic completely useless. Whereas in the other game, they would only get, like, suspicious of you if you found a dead corpse or you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And then they would get suspicious. You didn't have to keep fucking, like, using your meter up, because once you use your meter up, you're fucked. Especially in higher difficulties where you had, like, very little of it or none at all. So, like, it made the entire stealth mechanic, or blending in, the social stealth mechanic, useless to me. So I shit you not, by a second level, it takes place in a hotel, I was just blowing people apart with a shotgun. Because I just got tired of hiding. I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm not hiding anymore. I just killed everyone and didn't reach my objective. And it was at that point I decided I hated this game. I sold it immediately. And, yeah. But luckily, the new Hitman, it seems, from what I can tell, that they understand the frustration from the fans, and they're very much referencing more of Blood Money. And so I'm looking forward to a new Hitman game. This next game was kind of my biggest disappointment of 2015, but it's well received by most people, except for PC gamers. Batman Arkham Knight. And yeah, I really don't have a lot of good things to say about this game. I was another game that I was super hyped for. And it being Rocksteady making their final Batman game, supposed to be the end-all, be-all, has all the best features to all the other games have, right? You have all the sidekicks you can play as. There's, like, you can switch between two characters when you fight. Bigger and bigger, you know, Gotham City, the Batmobile, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm playing it, and I realized just how fucking superficial it is. We were just discussing earlier about bloated. This is, like, the definition of bloated. All the side quests are literally the same stupid shit over and over again. It's like, go chase down this car, go stop, go jump Firefly on this one, go save these firefighters here, blah, 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 do this mission with Nightwing. And it's just like, you guys don't even try anymore. And the story was horrible. Holy shit. And anyone who thinks this game has a good story, I will fight you. You're not a true Batman fan in my life. You know nothing about Batman. It's just like, I shit you not, Rocksteady lied to their fans in order to promote this game. They straight up lied. They're like, no, 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 the Arkham Knight, the main villain, is an original character, not based on the comics. And guess who he fucking is? He's Jason Todd, the second Robin, who died. Like, oh, God, you guys are killing me here with your originality. So breathtaking how smart and clever you fuckers are. And then the worst part is they bring back Joker for the fourth time.
No!
Yeah,
for the fourth time.
And he's supposed to be dead. He died in Arkham City. He comes back as a hallucinogenic character for the rest of the game. He has more lines than the villain. He has more lines than Scarecrow. It's just like, I love Mark Hamill. I love the Joker. But if Rocksteady has such a childish understanding of Batman and doesn't think he has other villains that need more exploring, that they shouldn't have been making this last game in the first place, as far as I'm concerned. It's so weak. And the Batmobile, and people will tell you how horrendous the Batmobile is. At first, it's cool. I got the Batmobile. I can literally bulldoze through, you know, walls and shit. I'm a badass. You know, I can go into tank mode. And then you realize that two-thirds of the game is you in a Batmobile. Like, Do you want to open this door? Use a Batmobile. Every single boss fight is a Batmobile. There's the stealth Batmobile sequences. I'm not even kidding. How the hell do you... What kind of dumb idea is that? And then it comes to a point, one of the most offensive parts to me was Deathstroke gets put back in this game. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, Deathstroke is back. I fought him in Arkham Origins. We had a cool boss fight, and he's back for vengeance. When you fight him, you have a fucking tank battle with Deathstroke. What? When the DC Universe world's greatest assassin versus the world's greatest like detective slash martial artist fight, I don't think of a fucking rally. Tank battle. Okay, and I was so angry just playing that part, and yeah, and the story is just weak. I could go on forever how terrible, every part of this plot, just script writing wise, it goes against what they teach you in an amateur like storytelling class. Show, don't tell. Have character development. Oh my god, it was just horrendous. There was no stakes in this game. When you have a villain, you want to force your main character to have lose something, sacrifice, blah blah blah. And they killed off Barbara Gordon pretty early in the game. I was like, oh my god, they killed Barbara Gordon. How the hell did they do that? And why would they do that? And then you find out it was another fear toxin hallucination. No, Batman, you were just hallucinating. She never died. So what you're telling me is, at no point in time has Batman actually lost anything at all. There was nothing. He didn't lose anything. None of his friends died. He didn't die. It's stupid. I just don't understand how people just thought that this game was amazing. And I don't know, it pissed me the fuck off. And that the DLC was horrible. Because every other Batman game up until that point, you had free challenge maps. You had a lot of challenge maps. You had a lot of content to begin with. And there's some here and there you download, like, oh, okay, I'll download Nightwing, or I'll download Robin, and maybe two or three more extra maps, right? No, this one gave you a total of four regular combat maps. The rest were shitty Batmobile racing tracks. And then in a rock say, it's like, yeah, this is great. Now we're going to make you pay for the rest of them. I was like, holy fuck. I was like, wow. This is the biggest slap in the face I've ever had in the game, like in recent memory. But that's just me on Batman. I could go on for it. I actually was going to write an article about it because I literally could write a book about this. moving on. Now, this game is probably, I will say it's much worse than the previous two I just mentioned. Have you guys ever heard of Two Worlds?
Yeah, I've heard of Two Worlds. I have heard of two.
Oh, God. The first one. I heard the second one, surprisingly, was good. But the first one, my friend back in, this is like back in high school, my friend had it, and he's like, dude, you have to come over to my right now. Play this shitty RPG game with me right now. I'm like, okay. So I come over, and holy crap. You guys ever play RuneScape?
I knew people that played it. I never played it.
This is the shittier version of RuneScape, but on Xbox 360.
Oh my god.
The graphics are appalling. They're so bad. It's so broken. Things are glitching as you walk. The dialogue sounds like if I was just reading off a script and I happened to be a 12-year-old. Like, it was fucking terrible. I was like, what in the world? It was so bad that my friend started a Facebook group just dedicated to hating this game. And I didn't play it any more than like say 20 minutes of it, but the novelty of it being it's so shitty that you have to experience it for yourself, like watching The Room.
Yeah,
Tommy Wiseau's The Room.
Yeah,
and yeah, that was really bad.
But that was that's like Aquaman. Did you ever play that?
I've heard of Aquaman.
It's fucking
never actually played it.
Awful. There's cutscenes, but instead of actual like dialogue or animation, it's still comic book panels that come up on the screen with like dialogue bubbles. Those are the cutscenes. And then the gameplay is so broken. You can just like swim through textures. There's buildings that submarines will just drive through. And the only thing that's well animated is Aquaman's hair. Like, everything else looks like shit, but then his hair is just this lovely flowing mane that just, it's very lively and bubbly, but everything else is just static and looks terrible.
Reminds me of that Super Nintendo, the Superman 64 game.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. It's that level of bad, where it's just nothing makes sense and everything is broken. It's just total garbage.
So just one last game, and this wasn't like super bad. I think it has more to do with me as a player just not liking how it felt, but UFC's Undisputed 3. Now this came out before UFC joined with EA. This is back when Dana White still fucking hated EA for not, like, I don't know, something about the gaming rights. There was a big feud going on. And I bought this in, like, this is like my freshman year or sophomore year in college, I forget. I just bought it. It was cheap. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm a big fan of MMA. I want to play this game. I bring it over to one of my friend's dorm and play it. And I lose immediately to someone. Like, no, none of us have played this game before. But and I was playing it, and I the controls were awful. I was just like, there's a dedicated button to, like, punching and kicking, whatever, very little variations between striking, and then the grappling mechanics, which is, I hate. Okay, this is just true. This is just true in real life. I hate grappling in real life. I'm just not good at it. It tastes very exhausting. I know how important it is, but I just don't like doing it. And I'm playing in the game, and the controls just don't make a whole lot of sense. I'm trying to work my head around it. And then after I lost a game against my friend, I was thinking to myself, I don't want to do this for 6 more hours. So I just immediately returned it. But yeah, I had a lot more fun playing Fight Night Round 3, Fight Night 4, Round 4, Fight Night Champion, those boxing games, because those controls were so pinpoint, and you could control every angle of a strike of the punches you throw. So granted, because it's a boxing game, you don't have to keep in mind the fact that MMA does kickboxing with, you know, grappling, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But I wish more MMA games had that sort of control, that fluidity based upon it. It's physics-based contact. So if I threw a hook at someone and he happened to be too close, my hook would actually wrap around his head. So, like, things like that. But it's whatever. I'm sure as time goes on, things will improve.
Yeah.
But those are my games.
Anybody have any closing thoughts about our hate cast? It was a very hate filled episode, I guess.
It really was. Oh, I don't know what I don't know what's up with everybody. You know, it's a Sunday. We should all be more chill than this, but apparently we're not.
I quite enjoyed it. I always like ranting about horrible things, so it was a good time for me. Anybody have any closing thoughts? Are we gonna wrap this up?
I think I am good.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's it for this episode of the Noobus Podcast. Remember to give us 5 stars, thumbs up, or Eric, a big old kiss if you like what we do. Or if you hate us.
Yes, please. Kiss.
Or else I'm going to have to do it. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that.
Hey, you volunteered for it, buddy. You've signed up for it now.
No, why did I say that? I immediately regret my decisions. Or if you just hate us and want us dead, you should probably find something else more worthwhile to do than hate some weirdos on the internet. Like, you could hate games like we did for the past hour and 15 minutes. Yep. That wraps it about up. Guys, you want to tell us where everybody can find you on Twitter and the Facebooks or wherever you want to be found?
So I'm found at Miss Laura Fagan on Twitter, and you can read my stuff on The Noobist.
You can find me on WordPress, dankkushlord.wordpress.com.
I fucking love that. and you can find me at gbits on Twitter and too many games on Tumblr. Thank you for listening. This was the Noobist Podcast.